May we know something of the greatness of God. He's our creator, as we've sung, and he's our savior, and he's our Lord. And may we all experience some of his greatness this morning as we're together. Please have a seat again. Have a seat. Now, if you picked up an order of service as you came in, you may have seen the title, that it's a slightly different kind of service to what we normally do. We're calling it a service of wholeness and healing. It's not the kind of service that we've tried before, certainly not since I've been here in for 4.5 years or so. But it could be just the sort of a service that we need, maybe. Now, if we get hurt, if you twist an ankle or you stub your toe or you bang your head, break your arm, we kind of know what to do, don't we? We know what to do when we hurt ourselves. We know whether it's a sterile cleansing wipe we need. We know, what else have we got in here? We know if it's a plaster to cover the cut that we've got. Maybe it's more than a plaster. Maybe we need a bandage. A bandage on that ankle that we've hurt. Maybe it's more painful than just a bandage. Oh, that's the wrong one. That's diarrhea relief. I was looking for something more like... Aha, that's right. The trusty paracetamol. We know how to heal our wounds, don't we, and ease our pains. Perhaps we know we've got to go and see the doctor. Go and see a doctor. He can help. Or maybe it's just an ice pack. The original instant ice pack. We've all been there, haven't we? We've either gone to the freezer and pulled one out, or we've got an ice pack. And usually it's just peas, isn't it? We wrap peas in a tea towel and apply it to the achy ankle or the bumped head. So we know what to do, don't we, when it's a physical thing. But what about the other hurts we have in life that we pick up along the way? The pains of the soul, the wounds of life and relationships and mistakes, the things that have happened and have hurt us. They're just as common, aren't they, actually, as physical injuries. I think they're just as common. Perhaps sometimes they're more common. But what do we do about them? Do we know the remedy, the treatment? 4 months ago, almost to the weekend, we did this timeline exercise. If you weren't here, we were really thinking about who we are as a church and where we've come from and all we've been through. And we sorted out this timeline. And on the timeline, we put down some stickers. You can see them here. We put down... red stickers for the highlights, the really good times that we've been through as a church, the red letter days. We put down green stickers for green shoots of opportunity and where we see the possibilities of God at work. So the green stickers. But then we also had these blue stickers for the things that have weighed down on us, the things that have grieved us, made us feel really blue. Things that have hurt us, perhaps in church life, experiences we've been through, things that have happened that haven't gone as we would have liked and have actually really hurt us. And after that timeline exercise, a couple of people said to me, it's really good that we've brought these things up, we've brought them to light, but has there been closure? Has there been a kind of conclusion to these things? Or have we just raised all these things of the past and brought them up without really addressing them? So that's kind of the context. That's why we're here today thinking about these things. And we may have in mind the hurts that we've been through in church life, the things that we've not yet found closure for. And the timing of this service is no coincidence, because next Sunday, we're into September, and it's the start of a new academic year, if you like. And a new term, and we're going to be presenting a new church vision where we think God's leading us and taking us for the future. And it would be great if the weight of things in the past isn't still hanging over us and encumbering us as we go into that new phase, that new term, that new vision, if you like, that God has got for us. But let's be honest, pain and hurt don't only happen in the context of church life and church relationships. People get hurt in many ways in so many different settings. And our prayer this morning is that there may be healing and wholeness for us for all kinds of different things that may have hurt us. And it's important. Think of the wounds we get in life, the cuts. If we don't put some antiseptic in them or put a plaster over them or get the right treatment for a deep cut, those things can get worse and worse and worse. They can fester. They'll very likely get worse. And it's very important that we get these wounds that we may have, these pains, seen to. And I want to own up to you all this morning and say, we're obviously, you know, in one sense, we're far out of our depth, aren't we? Talking about the pains people have got and the hurts they feel. It's not something any of us can claim to just fix or have the capacity to address. But God is able. God is able to heal a heart and restore a soul. And he's not only able, he's willing. He wants to heal our hearts and help our hurting souls. And because he's willing and able, that's why we dare, isn't it? That's why we dare. In fact, we must do this as a church family at times. We must help each other in these ways because we don't want to withhold from one another the kind of blessings that God means for us to have. So it's going to be a quieter kind of service, if you like. We want everyone to have space to have their own thoughts and to engage as much as they feel they would like to, as much as they feel they're able to, as much as is helpful. And the most important thing this morning is that everyone here feels safe, safe in God's care for us. So there's no pressure at all in this time together. We hope it feels relaxed, but it's meant as an opportunity for us all to engage with what God is doing as much as feels helpful to us. And if this doesn't feel like it's really for you and it's not quite what's, you know, you don't feel you've got issues that are particularly pressing, nothing comes to mind in this time, then don't worry about that. Maybe you can be really prayerful for the people around you and next to you. But if this service does raise things for you, then it is our prayer that this will really be of help. And if there are things you'd like to talk to someone about afterwards, then we've arranged for there to be prayer ministry. We don't always have prayer ministry available, but today Sue Fletcher and Pat Pooley and Adrian Gardner will be available over behind the musicians after the service. If there's anything you'd like to just have prayer for, then please receive that ministry of prayer. And if you'd like to speak to someone outside the context of the service, do get in touch. You can call me or you can email or you can speak to someone from the ministry leadership team. But now let's just take a short moment of quiet then to allow God to bring to mind what's really on our hearts. Maybe things that are already on these sheets of paper behind me and in front of you, or other things that have never gone down on a post-it, have never been so much as written down or spoken about. Going to remain seated to sing a song in just a moment. But as we do, let me lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, to whom all our hearts are open, all our worries, anxieties, and desires are known, from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
There's a very short reading coming from Malachi, chapter 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day is coming, and it will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves.
We're going to come to a time of confession now, and Pat and Sue are going to help us with that. Because while we're coming today to confess to God or own to God the ways we've been hurt, we probably can admit that sometimes when we're hurt, it brings out the worst in us, in our reactions to other people. They're not measured. Perhaps we lash out verbally, physically. And perhaps our grief can be multiplied through our own actions. So we're going to just take a moment now to confess our own sins and shortcomings to God.
When a prayer or plea is made by any one of your people, each one aware of his afflictions and pains, and spreading out his hands towards you, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with each one according to all they do, for you alone know the hearts of men.
Lord, you know my past and the things that have grieved me. You know the hurt I have felt, the pain I bear, and resentments I still harbour. When I have not brought these things fully to you for healing, forgive me and help me. Lord, I have been hurt and saddened, but I have also hurt and saddened others. Where I have grieved your Holy Spirit, forgive me and help me. Where I have thought or said unkind things of others or acted in spite towards them, forgive me and help me to put things right. Lord, I have sought comfort and consolation, but I have not always sought them for you. Where I have sought solace in self-indulgence, self-pity, or sin, forgive me and help me find wholeness and healing in you.
Almighty God, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to break the power of evil over us. Free us from the guilt and power of past sin, and bring us to live our lives in the freedom of your forgiving love, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just pray a second. Thank you, Father, that in the Lord Jesus we have someone, not anyone, we have your own Son who walked our road and felt our pain, the joys and sorrows that we know so well. We pray that you will help us to know that deep down today. Amen. So we began by talking about the remedies that we have for our bumps and bruises, didn't we? These bandages and sprays and all these kind of things you can get now to help with your wounds, I guess, and the things that hurt. But those physical things aren't the ones that really linger and bother us. Sooner or later, they'll get better. They all get better eventually. They're not the ones that bother us for months and years and really upset us. It's the ones to our hearts and our minds that last. What do we do about those bumps and scratches and bruises and wounds, the ones we've got from life or loved ones or work or family life or even church? Well, we need to look in the right direction, don't we? We need to look in the right direction. I wonder what you've tried for those things. Maybe you've tried pleasure of some kind. Perhaps you've turned to something like drink or retail therapy, something or other. Just loads of food, who knows? Something just to kind of fill in that sense of pain. Perhaps you've tried some kind of distraction just to put your mind on something else. Perhaps you've tried to work your way out of it, work really hard. Perhaps you've been constantly busy. And those things do sort of feel like they help for a little while. There's no doubting that. They just sort of give us sort of a numbness, don't they? A distraction. But they don't take it away. There's no healing. There's certainly no closure for those things of the past. We have to look in the right direction. And the right direction is the Lord Jesus. He's the real answer. This summer we've been doing a series of talks, just in August, on references to the sun in the Bible. That seemed to tie in with the summer. It certainly does today, doesn't it, this weekend? And reading that Pat read to us was from the last page of the Old Testament. And in that reading, Malachi says, "The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." It's a great, lovely phrase, isn't it? It's one we listen to often at Christmas. It's a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. He's the sun of righteousness. He's the sun of righteousness. Some translations say the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Jesus is the one who comes with healing in his wings. That's his signature, isn't it? All through his ministry, his life, he brought healing and wholeness to the people he met. So it's an interesting image, though, healing in his wings. It's like he's swooping down low, close to us. And that when he swoops down close to us, he'll bring healing to us. It's funny, I think it's funny to think of Jesus with wings. It's not something we normally think of, is it? Jesus with wings. But it's not the only place that Jesus is kind of described, or he describes himself almost as having wings. In Luke and in Matthew's gospel, there's references where Jesus almost pictures himself as having wings. Do you remember when he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing." See, that's what Jesus is like. He wants to reach out and shelter us. He wants us to stand under the shadow of his protection, to find ourselves comforted by his greater presence, his reassuring presence. We might think to ourselves, there's no way he'd want me to stand close to him with all the issues that I've got within me. But he does. The people he said this to were people who were rejecting him, people who had rejected his messengers, his prophets. And he said, even with all your bitterness and your frustrations, with me I would gather you to my side, if only you would. And that's the nature of Jesus. He's all compassion. He's all compassion. I'm going to put a couple of verses up on the screen now, and I want you to imagine the Lord Jesus is saying this to you. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 42. It says this, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. So if you're a bruised reed or you're a smouldering wick, he'll not snuff you out or break you. And then he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus comes to be in real solidarity with us, to sympathize with us, to share our pain and our grief. But he also wants to take it away from us. He sees that it's unhealthy for us to bear these things. We were never meant to carry these things. Certainly not long term. You know that Jesus, he called his followers, didn't he? His disciples, to follow him. They were always moving around. They were on a journey, going somewhere. Perhaps you could think of them as being herded, if you've still got that chicken, you know, that hen image, that Jesus was kind of herding them along. And they were, you know, they went from place to place and town to town and did so many things. But they were on this journey, but where were they going? Well, they were going to Jerusalem, weren't they? Going up to Jerusalem. And what happened when he got there? He went to the cross. He went to the cross. Oh, well, I've lost it there slightly. He went to the cross, and the cross is this very deep and mysterious event, isn't it, in the history of the world. And the transactions that took place there between heaven and earth are many and profound. The world was reconciled to God through that occasion when Jesus died on the cross. He put away sin for all time. He took the mighty blow that we deserved. But he was also shouldering our pain. He was shouldering our pain. As he picked up the cross, it was more than just a heavy wooden object that he carried. It was all our grief and our sadness and our sorrow and our frustration and every feeling of despair. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. But where did he get all those sorrows from? And then verse 4 tells us, if Tony can just pop it onto the next one. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Why did he herd them up to Jerusalem under his wings, up to the cross? Why? So that when they got there, he could say, give it all to me. Give it all here. Give me all your sorrows. Give me all your pain. Let me bear that pain for you. Let me have your sadness and your frustration and your grief. Give it all to me. See, the cross is God's remedy for our grief. The cross is the place where we can be set free from our hurt and the pains that we bear. That is where Jesus takes it all from us to bear it himself. And that's where he tells us the things you've been through really are significant. They really are serious. I'm not going to just sweep them aside. I'm not going to treat them as trivial. These can't be brushed under the carpet. You really matter, and the things you've been through really matter. And it needs dealing with in the most serious way. And he knew that nothing less than his very own blood the blood of God would do to wipe away the griefs that we've been through. No amount of alcohol or prescription drugs or illegal drugs or shopping or walking or work. No, that's not enough. But the blood of Jesus, that's how serious it is, but that blood can take it away. So the cross is God's remedy for our sin. It's his healing for our hurting. And we all need it for all our wounds. And it should be our habit to go to the cross regularly with the things that hurt in life and say, Jesus, thank you. You understand. You've borne my pain. So it should be our habit, but sometimes it's helpful to just deliberately take ourselves and take one another to that place. Lead one another to the cross. And we want to give everyone the chance today to do that, to take their hurts to the cross, to come under those wings, find ourselves led to the cross, where we can hand over our hurts to him. So we're going to have the opportunity, an opportunity, to find the healing that God wants to give to us at the cross. The cross is big enough. It spans history. It goes back in time. It goes forward in time. And it meets us here today. And by God's Spirit at work here today, we can find our way to the cross. It's a miracle. But we can find our way there. And that's what we really want to do in just a moment. It's give us all the opportunity to take our pains to the cross and leave them there. There's nothing magical in what we're going to do. You can stay right in your seats and pray quietly and have the ministry of the Holy Spirit right where you're seated and find yourself sitting in front of the cross if you like. But sometimes it's helpful just to do something tangible and give expression to how we're feeling and what we're seeking from God. So we're going to do that with a sort of, I call it an activity, but hopefully it's more than just an activity to us. We're going to invite you, if you've got something that you wrote down here 4 months ago that comes to mind sometimes and is still an issue for you, a pain of the past, a blue post-it, we're going to encourage you to take that post-it in a moment up there to the cross, on the table at the end of the church. We're going to invite you to leave it there. I don't think they'll stick to the cross. You'll probably have to leave it at the foot of that cross. Well, there might be something else. It might not be something that's written down here. Maybe it's something else that's hurt you in your life. And you know you've never found closure for it in any way. So we've got some blank, pale blue post-it notes at either end of this table. And you could just write down one word or two words or a short sentence that summarise what it is for you. And you can just write that down as you come past. Just write it down. Take it to the top. Leave it at the cross. No one's going to study what you've written or look at it. It's between you and God. But I know for sure he wants you to have that opportunity to find healing and closure for it. But we're not only going to leave something there. There's some red dots at the table. So as you leave your blue post-it, we're going to give you, if you'd like to take one, a red dot. And we'd like you to take that red dot, which signifies the blood of Jesus, and we want you to come and put it somewhere on the timeline, wherever that wherever or whenever that thing, that pain took place, we're going to say, put a red dot in place of where your blue post-it was. Because by doing that, we're acknowledging something did happen. Something painful did happen there in 2014 or there in 2009 or whenever it was. It goes back to 1950. And you can put your red dot there saying something serious happened and it hurt me. But the blood of Jesus has healed me. It has healed me. And then hopefully by the end, we'll have this beautiful timeline that says, look, we're a church of people who have been hurt in the past in different ways, from time to time. But we've found healing and help. This church has found healing and help by the cross, by the blood of Jesus. That is how we are healed and made whole. Now, please, I'm going to just say, please only do this if you really are seeking God's healing and closure. There's really no point taking a blue post-it up there and leaving it. If in your mind and in your heart, you're carrying that thing back with you to your pew afterwards. If we really want to hold on to the pain and resentment of the past, don't go to the cross just to pretend. Please only do it if it's really real to you. So what we're going to do now is we're going to stay seated while we sing a song. And then afterwards, after the song's been played, Graham will continue playing some background music. Pat will be here at the table with the post-its and pens. Sue will be up there at the table with the red dots. And if you feel you'd like to, then please come forward. You might be able to find a post that you've written. You may like to write one and then take it up and then receive that dot, that red dot, and then pop it on here. Well, if you didn't, if you wanted to write something down, perhaps you weren't able to come forward. The things that we write in silent prayer, God hears. So we know that even if we've not managed to do that this morning, if it's, the most important thing is we've really talked to Jesus about it. And so in front of us, we've got quite a number of red dots. We've obviously still got some blue stickers left here. Maybe some of those were, you know, you prayed about those and just as you sat. Perhaps there are people not here today who took part in the original timeline exercise. And the service has been recorded, so you might just mention to friends to have a listen to today. Perhaps they'll want to, as it were, go through the exercise from home, I don't know, listening through their laptop or their iPad. So the cross is a closure, it's an ending. It is an ending, but it's not the end. You know, Jesus died to put an end to the things that torment and trouble us. But it's not the end, is it? After the cross came something else. And Charlotte's going to share more of the story with us.
So we've come to the part of the service with our family slot. So if there's any children and they can't see the screen, do come and sit at the front. But we've been following three friends on a journey. They've been trying to find a miracle man. And we saw, didn't we, the encounter with Simeon, with the crowd, storytelling, crowd-feeding miracle man of the 5,000. We saw Miriam, how the miracle man gave her life by raising her from the dead. And last week, we found out about Tim's encounter with the donkey riding, people healing, miracle man in the temple. But then it seemed to go wrong. The miracle man was nailed to a cross. Was he really gone? Full stop. Well, let's find out. So they all slumped to the ground with Tim and just sobbed. The miracle man they had travelled all this way was now gone. Full stop. Simeon shared the last of his bread, and Tim made a fire to keep everyone warm. One by one, their eyelids closed, and the three friends fell fast asleep. Wait, said Miriam as she sprung to her feet. He made me alive again too. What if God could make him alive? Quick, follow me, said Tim. I know where his tomb is. As the three friends reached the tomb and saw that it was open and empty, he was gone, but not full stop. They couldn't find his body anywhere. He did it! He's alive again too, shouted Miriam. But how can we be sure? Asked Tim. What if somebody stole his body? Wait, shouted Sim. The miracle man had special friends who were fishermen, right? If anyone would know what happened to Jesus, it would be them. Couldn't hurt to look, thought Tim. And so the three friends asked for directions to the seaside and journeyed a really long way. When they finally arrived at the beach, they saw grown-ups having a barbecue. Mmm, smells delicious, said Sim. And look at all the fish they've caught. One thing's for sure, there's a fisherman somewhere, and I think he knows more about this miracle man. And just then, a grown-up who had heard their conversation joined in. Do you know why the miracle man died? He asked. The three friends looked at each other a little puzzled. Because some people thought he was bad, guessed Tim. The grown-up smiled. He died to forgive all the bad things and all the sad things that were ever done or said. But he can't forgive all the bad things or all the sad things that all the mean people did and said Tim. But why not? Asked the grown-up. Because some of it was too bad or too sad, said Miriam. But that's just it. The miracle man died so anyone could be forgiven, no matter how bad the bad things were, and no matter how sad the sad things were. But why? Asked Sim. Doesn't seem very fair to me. And then the grown-up knelt and one by one stared deep into the eyes of the three friends. Because he loves you. That's why. But Mr. Grown-up, sir, my friend Miriam thinks he's alive again, asked Sim. Is he really? And next week, we're going to finish off the story and we're going to see that this miracle man isn't just alive. He's alive in us today and he's alive for each one of us. But do you remember what the grown-up said to each child? He died because he loves you. No matter what the bad things or sad things are, he loves you, and he died to forgive all of those things. So let's just pause and thank God for that cross and for dying to forgive us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you died on the cross to forgive all our wrongs, no matter how bad or how sad we may think they are. Thank you that you love each one of us individually, today and every day. Amen.
So after the cross, wasn't a full stop, was it? There was a new chapter, a new life for Jesus. And That's because he means for us to have new chapters and new life in him. And that may mean starting afresh with people, and sometimes it's even places. We may need to be reconciled to somebody over something. If someone has hurt you in the past and that was on your mind this morning, why not go to them and tell them that you were hurt, but tell them that you've forgiven them? You can say it wasn't easy, because it really did hurt, but God made it possible. I think a couple of weeks ago in the service, Adrian said, forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior, but it prevents them from destroying your heart. And that's why it's important that we are reconciled with other people. So ask God if there's someone you need to be reconciled with. You might say, I haven't got the strength for that. And naturally we don't, do we? But by the power of the resurrection, Jesus' risen life at work in us, we can do it. Now, in just a moment, we're going to sing. And then after we've sung a song, we're going to remain standing for an opportunity to pray together, a sort of prayer of corporate rededication of ourselves and our church to God. So standing, we'll consider what we want to be going forwards. So a prayer of what I've called dedication. Please join in with the words in yellow. Eternal God and Father, as we stand together in your presence, help us entrust the past to your mercy, the present to your love, and the future to your care. So we say, whenever we look back, remind us of the cross and grant us peace. Whenever we look forward, tell us that Christ is risen and nothing can separate us from your love. And in the present, may we demonstrate your grace, forgiving others as you have forgiven us. Help us work together in love and charity for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.